Thank you for celebrating this Easter season with us at Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his love of Jesus. We invite you to share in this ministry with your family, friends, and neighbors. We are grateful for your encouraging notes to us. From Nebraska, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate Brother Salem's preaching. I love the way he speaks from the heart and the Bible. It always brings a smile to my face. And from North Carolina, my husband and I enjoy Pastor Salem's old-time, down-to-earth, get-down-to-business sermons every Sunday morning. I'm mending from back surgery and unable to attend church, so CWH has been a blessing to us. Thank you for your ministry. Today, Dad shares a timeless message as we approach Easter and remember the sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of the world. We hope you will be uplifted by today's program, The Passover Feast. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here we are, another week has rolled by, and we're coming into the Easter season. And we're going to be thinking about the cross. We're going to be thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ today. And it's a beautiful message. It's a beautiful story about the Passover lamb. And so call your friends and have them tune us in. And if you don't like this sermon, then you got a problem. So we just hope you can join us and get others to come and join us too. But we're looking at Psalm 103 in the opening verses, where the psalmist writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for providing the food that we have, and the breath that we take, and every heartbeat that we have. We thank you that it is a gift from you. We thank you most of all for Jesus, who came to this world and on that cross shed his blood to pay for our sins. And as we enter the Easter season, dear Lord, we're thinking about that great sacrifice that made it possible for us to enter heaven and have our sins taken away and enter heaven. So we thank you for Jesus. Bless us in this service, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing. We're going to be talking about the Passover. She's going to sing a song, "When I See the Blood." And God bless you, Jan. Well, Jan, thanks a million for that song. It's a beautiful song, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and that's what we're going to preach about today, the wonderful Savior, the only way of salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's what God tells us. So Jesus came and shed his blood to pay for our sins. God bless his holy name. Well, we want to read some letters. I got a letter here not long ago, and they said that they thought maybe it'd be all right if I'd use more letters and less sermon. Can you imagine that? I about fell off of my chair. But we're going to use some of these letters because it is nice, because it lets us know where you're thinking, where you're at. You share different things and different thoughts that we never thought about. And so you just get your pencil and paper out, and I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. But let's just look at some of these letters. And the first two letters, it just happens, that deal with people that have had a suicide in their family. The first one is from Polyop, Washington. And this person writes, I was watching your service on TV Sunday. You said you have books on suicide. My husband and I are very, very good Christians, but I had a shock on March 11th, 2015. He took his own life while I had gone shopping. He had been a diabetic for 30 years. I think he finally got so depressed he gave up. We had a wonderful marriage of 57 years. I'm still confused about going to heaven when you take your own life. Would you please mail the book to me that you said you have for suicide and going to heaven? And so no question about this man being a believer, a Christian. And if he committed suicide, he'll go to heaven. Now, I'll talk about that a little bit more, but let me read the second letter. This person writes from Springfield, Missouri, and writes and said, I have recently had two people I know commit suicide. They both were very ill. Their families are being tormented by people saying that they're now in hell. Even their pastors are preaching that message. Can you send me several of your messages about that? I may help these people. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, and you can take this to the bank if you want to. If you're a Christian and you commit suicide, you're in the arms of Jesus and you're safe at home. And it's very, very simple, because it's simply that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and they're all covered. Now, we have a little booklet that's entitled, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Will He Go to Heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. And I haven't had a vision. I haven't died and then come back to earth again. I don't put much stock in that kind of talk. But everything we have in this little booklet, I think it's about 10, 12 pages, and all scripture, it's what God says. And over and over and over, he teaches us and tells us that we belong to him no matter what happens. And it can bring you peace and it can bring you joy. And so you write to us. Now get your pencil and paper. I'm going to do the rest of the letters. Then I'll give the address. You write to us. We send it free and postpaid. If you can help on it some, that's fine. But if you don't have anything, that's fine too. We have people on Social Security can't afford it. We hear from people in prisons. And so we're glad to send them out. And then somebody else will help us. And so it all comes out in the wash. And so we'll look at these then. We'll talk about that, give you that verse and just the scripture in just a minute. Here's a letter from Bloomington, Minnesota. Thank you for helping me come back to Jesus in my life. God said it, Jesus did it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Well, they got it just exactly right. Because if God says it and you believe it, that settles it. That's all there is to it. Now, God will tell us, and he says that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, then there's come along, oh, you got to do more than that. But Paul tells us in Romans, says, to him that worketh not, but believeth. It all depends upon faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and through faith in him. So if you don't believe God, then you got a problem. But if you want to believe God, then you just take him at his word. He says there in the Hebrews, he tells us, their sins and iniquities and sins, I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us, they're all washed away. And he tells us in Isaiah, come now, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I know you think about, you know, I was raised with sheep. We always had sheep. And you think of sheep and that dingy, dirty old wool and the cockle burrs probably and stuff like that. And the wool isn't very white. But when you shear that sheep, you take that wool off next to the body, that wool is glistening, beautiful white. And that's what Jesus does. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Well, shorn sheep, just white and glittering, or like the snow, glistening snow, all washed away. That's why I love to preach, because I don't care what your sins are. I don't care what you've done. If you come to Jesus, and whosoever call on his name will be saved, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins, you promise to forsake sins. That's repentance. And you promise to forsake sins the best you can, turn your back on them, and just follow Jesus, make him the Lord of your life. And then thank him, and then tell somebody. And you men, especially if you accept the Lord, tell your wife. She's probably been praying for you for years. And you tell her that, oh, I've accepted Jesus. My sins are gone away. I've asked him into my heart. She'll probably pass out. When she comes to her senses again, she'll probably make you the best meal you had for years. Just tell somebody. Don't be ashamed of it. The wonderful gospel. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. I accepted God through your program some years ago. And I got a letter from a lady that had been watching us, listening to us. We started out just on radio, not television. Been over 50 years, she's been listening to the services, worshiping Jesus. And the reason that they never grow old is because it's the Bible. God's word is fresh every day, and it never is exhausted. And you can preach it 100 different times, and the Holy Spirit takes it, and it applies to hearts, and he'll speak to you every time. And I don't know your situation, but the Holy Spirit knows it exactly. And so we preach the Bible and the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart and you're convicted and you know you ought to have Jesus. And you know you're never going to go to heaven if you don't have Jesus. And you know that it's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. That's the last thing you want, and you call on Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, take away your sin, and he'll cleanse you and make you white as snow. Oh, wonderful, wonderful gospel. Let's see. Here's a letter from Virginia, Minnesota. Listen to this lady writes in. She said, thank you for your precious teaching this past year. And then she underlines it. Salvation is a person. And then she goes on. She says, I never heard it put that way before, but it's true. At the cross, the one thief trusted Jesus. He didn't have to climb down and be water baptized. Scripture proves the truth in Christ's love. And so that's exactly it. The way to heaven is a person. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, he says, behold, he's talking about himself, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says the only way to God is through Jesus, through a person. I love the church. I spent all my life in the church. And I preach and I've loved the church. But the church can't save you. There's only one person can save you. Can't be circumcision. Can't be baptism. Can't be 100 other things. It's whosoever believes on the Lord. He'll have to come through Jesus. I am the way. In John chapter 9, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. He says, I am the door. You know what he's talking about? Well, at night they brought the sheep into a fold, and the fold was simply a corral built up with stone, and at the top of the stone they'd have brambles, so the wolves or something couldn't get in on those sheep. And there was only one way into that circular fold, and that was one opening, and it wasn't a door with hinges. The shepherd would lie in that doorway and sleep at night. No lambs, no sheep could go out, no wolves could come in. He was the door. Jesus says, I am the door. It's a person. Isn't that beautiful? And you know something else about that person? I don't hold him. He holds me. He says in John 10, I hold them in my hand, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then another next verse says, my Father that's greater than I holds us in his hand. And so Jesus holds us in his hand, and God holds Jesus in his hand. And how could you be safer than that? Somebody says, well, what if I want to stray away? I mean, you mean you're stronger than God? Where did you come from? And so this wonderful thing, here it is. Jesus is a person. The salvation is a person. Here's East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I'm 89 years old. I accepted Jesus in my heart 25 years ago and felt at peace at once. And that's what Jesus does. He gives us peace. We're thinking about those sins all the time and how we're going to face those sins. And then we come to Jesus and he takes them all away. It washes us clean, makes us pure, and they'll never face them again. God doesn't, he'll never face them. He doesn't, they're all washed away, they're all gone, see? And so that's the beauty of it, and what gives us peace. I think of my past. How would you like to have your past all shown up on a picture show some night? I sure wouldn't want my past shown, even my thoughts and things like that. Well, you'll never see my sins, because they're all gone in the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to talk about the Passover Lamb. Now, he shed his blood, and we're safe. When he sees the blood, the death angel will pass over us. He won't take us away, can't touch us. Well, let's see. Here's one more. And Des Moines, Iowa. Listen to this. Here's one of the most beautiful letters I ever got. Listen to what this is a lady. I'm dying of cancer and a shut-in. Without all of you there would be no church for me. Then she said, thanks to the Christian Worship Hour, I'm a reborn Christian. And listen to what she says. I don't feel sad. Cancer didn't kill me. It saved me. Listen to that. Cancer didn't kill me. It saved me. What does she mean? She means that she had cancer. She's confined at home. She hears the gospel. She's born again. She's a child of God. And that cancer brought her to Jesus. And that's exactly right. That's what she's saying. Cancer didn't kill me. Save me. Oh, I'm anxious to see this dear lady in heaven. And that's exactly right. And that's what we're preaching. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. We can't do this work unless you help us. We got to have your letters and we got to have your gifts. And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send us a gift from anywhere in the world, you can send it by getting the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then there's a place, donate, and you punch that or whatever you do. I don't know these computers, but I hope you're smart enough to use one. You can send us a gift, and you can put it in your money in Africa there, and we'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. We got to pay our bills just like anybody else. And I know what you're thinking. You're way off somewhere in Africa or South America, and you're saying, well, what if I send my hard-earned money and they don't, what if they use it just for themselves? What if he buys a sports car? See, I'm 95 years old, going on 96, and I'm going to buy a sports car? Give me credit for more than that. But we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books on what we take in and what we spend. So everything you send in will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And nobody's going to get rich off of that. I'm going to tell you that, because we pay the regular bills, pay our regular salaries, and the rest goes for the spreading of the gospel. Now, we need to hear from you. And if you think that this is kind of a ministry that we need to, you want to support, then you need to write to us and let us have that right away. And then if you want to get our little Bible study, now this month, the month of April, we're thinking about the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel. And every month there's a new Bible study. And so you just write to us and we'll be glad to send it. It's called the New Song, the New Song. So we'd love to hear from you. And then send your letter. Maybe we can use your letter. Maybe you have a prayer request, whatever it is. You just think about us. Help us. Just do as God leads, God shows, and we'll just take it from there, do whatever he gives us. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays it on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those many who are now in your presence who have supported this ministry in the last 38 years. And I thank you those now are going to help us carry on this work. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, excuse me. We're reading from Exodus chapter 12 today, and we're going to be talking about the Passover. I love this sermon about the Passover. And God is talking to, instructs Moses and Aaron, and he says there's going to be a special feast, a special observance here, And he spells it out, and this is what he writes. God says, "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat of it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover." And then this is what he said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And that's the Passover feast, the Passover meal. And we're going to pray. Now, every week we pray for a different, the persecuted church. And we're praying for the persecuted church in Pakistan. And it's one of the among the five worst places to be. It's one of the most places where most of the persecution is being done, Pakistan. And so we're going to pray for them. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to thank you for this Passover meal and for all that it stands for, because it is a picture of Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who came to this world and shed his blood on the old rugged cross. And for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so he shed his blood to pay for our sins and was raised the third day. But the blood has to be applied, has to be on the doorpost. And so, Lord, as we look at this beautiful, beautiful feast, this beautiful story, help us to be sure that we have opened our heart to the Savior, that we've come to him for cleansing and had our sins washed away and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, dear God, have your way in every heart and soul, and may many come to a saving grace of our Savior. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, and we know that some are dying for you, Lord. And we know that there are orphans left now, and somebody has to pick them up and take care of them. There are widows and there are old folks who've lost their children and their grandchildren. And oh God, we just wonder how long you're going to tarry. And yet you wait because, Lord, in your mercy, maybe somebody else can come and be saved before you come. Because when judgment comes, there'll be no more salvation. And so, oh God, just help us, help them. And I know that you'll help them. And help us to be more dedicated to you. And help us to pray more, and help us to love more as we walk through this life, and help us to be willing to have people maybe put us down or cut us out of their company because we made our stand for you. Help us to be strong. And as these wonderful people in the persecuted church, how they encourage my soul and encourage all of us. So now, Lord, this is your service. Take it and use it to honor yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's going to sing before the message, "He Will Carry You." And God bless you, Hank.
There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my sister, that He will carry you. He said, come too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. There is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my sister, that He will carry you. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry. I know, my sister, that He will carry you. He will carry you. He will carry you.
Thank you, Hank. What a wonderful, wonderful message. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He will carry you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll carry you through the storms or through the flood or through the fire. Doesn't matter to Him. He's our wonderful, wonderful Savior. And we're going to look at that Savior today because we're going to look at the Passover feast. And we're right into the Easter season now, and we're thinking about the Savior and how here He comes, and He comes up to Mount Calvary. And on that cross, He sheds His blood to pay for the sins of the world. In the book of Exodus, we have the story of the Passover feast, and that's a picture of the death of Jesus Christ and the applying of the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to look at that today. This was that Israel was given seven feasts, And this Passover is the first feast, the first one that gave them. And it is the most important. And it was so important that they changed that month to the first month of the year when they had this Passover time. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we're told that it is a type of picture. This Passover lamb is a type of Jesus. Because, for instance, he tells us, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Christ our Passover. In other words, when God had them have that lamb in Egypt so years ago, he had one thing in mind, and that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would someday go to the cross and die for the on the cross. In preparation for the Passover, God tells them, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. He speaks a lamb, not lambs. There's just one lamb that he has in mind. He has said, kill it, not them. He is thinking of one single lamb, and that lamb is Jesus Christ, going to be the Savior of the world. The lamb for the feast must be the firstborn male, and the lamb must is typical of Christ, because we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so here John is pointing out Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. Now the Lamb must be without blemish. It says, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. To test and prove that it was without blemish, it had to be kept up for 4 days. And they had to watch that lamb and just to watch it as close as they could to see if it had any imperfections. And that was a picture, be a picture of Jesus, because Jesus is perfect. We're told in Luke 11, verse 53 and 4, and as he said these things unto them, that's Jesus said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him more vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him, but they couldn't get a mark against him. Jesus says in John 8:46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Pilate tells us in John 18:38, Pilate therefore said unto them, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:19, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Hebrews 7:26, we are told, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the angels. They're talking about Jesus. Again in Hebrews, they write in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He had no sin ever. And he answered and said never a word, and the governor marveled greatly. And so here's this lamb. It must be spotless. It must be tested. And it must be slain. In Exodus 12:6, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. Christ, too, had to be slain. He had to be slain because he was the Lamb of God. He had to be slain for the remission of sins, for the sins of the world. And so we're told in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's Jesus. That's our wonderful Savior. In Exodus chapter 12, Israel is in bondage. And so we are in the same thing. We're in the bondage of sin. And this Lord Jesus comes to save us from our sin, just like the Passover lamb was come to spare these people from being put to death. That blood is what they were looking for. And so we sing the hymn, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin." And Isaiah talks about the same thing in Isaiah 9:2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And Paul says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so you have the picture of the Passover lamb in the Egypt. That's a picture of the world. And Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. And so when Jesus comes, the Lamb of God on the cross is a picture of a world that's lost in sin, and Christ is dying for it. And Satan is there to put him to death. God said to people of Israel, he says, "I have come to deliver them." That's grace, because Israel didn't deserve anything. And God gave them everything. Israel, and just like we are, we don't deserve anything but death and hell because we have all of our sins. And yet God gives us life and glory. That's grace, the grace of God. Do you know of all of the religions in the world, there's only one that has grace, and that's Christianity. You don't find grace anywhere else on the face of the earth. And so God tells us that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, and he comes in his grace, and he's going to redeem us. And in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "Come now," he says, "let us reason together." And then that's in the 18th verse, rather. He says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be like wool. You're going to be cleansed of your sins." That's wonderful Savior. The first time God delivered Israel, 2,000 years later, he came back and he delivered you and he delivered me. And Jesus says, "I," in John 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life. I have come to save them from hell, from death. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The slaves in Egypt could not save themselves. They were slaves and couldn't raise a hand. And that's exactly the way we were, dead in our trespasses and sins. And there was no way out for us, because all of our righteousness were like filthy rags, and there was no way out. And so Jesus comes and he delivers Israel, and the Passover lamb delivers Israel. And so that's what David talks about it in his day. And he puts it like this in Psalm 40. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Oh, yes, came to deliver Israel. But before Israel can be delivered, the sin question has to be dealt with. And before we can ever have a way into heaven and any fellowship with God, the sin question has to be dealt with. And that's exactly what's happening here. And so in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And that's why we can enter heaven. We can be sinless because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ and our sins are washed away. Sin always brings death. And so because of sin, every firstborn was to die in Egypt. And Egypt and Israel alike, Pharaoh and his servants alike, the firstborn is the symbol of the first of the natural man, and we are all by nature sinful. 1 Corinthians 15:46. "Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual." And so the Egyptian and the Israelite were just the same, and they were all under the condemnation of God. They rested under the same condemnation, Israel and Egypt alike. They worshiped the same idols. A dog wouldn't bark at one or the other. They were all the same mix, and they were all there. And the only thing that separated those Israelites that night was a lamb. A lamb. A lamb between them was the only difference. That's then the only difference between a sinner and a saint. The only difference between heaven and hell. A lamb. The Lamb of God. You have the story of Cain and Abel. There were no difference between the two. The both had the same parents. Both bring a sacrifice. Cain brought the sweat of his brow, the best of the harvest. Abel brought a lamb, and the lamb saved Abel. And the only difference then between Cain and Abel was a lamb. Two men went to the temple to pray one day. Both were Jews. Both were sinners. Both stood to pray. Both prayed to the same God. One was justified. The other was not. And the only difference between the two, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the wonderful Lamb. Two men hung on the cross. They were both guilty sinners. One went to heaven and one went to hell. And the only difference between the two, a lamb. And the third was a Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And so you have Egypt and Israel. And the homes were alike and the lives were alike. And the only difference between the lost and the saved in Israel and Egypt that night, a lamb, the Lamb of God. And then the blood was placed on the side post of the on the door. And this was made in the sign of a cross on either side and over the door. The killing of the lamb wouldn't save the firstborn. And the blood in the lamb as the incarnation wouldn't save the firstborn. The blood in the basin, the death of Christ, the blood in the basin wouldn't save a soul. The blood on the doorpost applied was the means of salvation. And that's why the angel, when he came through the land that night, he was looking for the blood. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so the blood must be applied. There can be no substitute. There can be only one way. It's got to be God's way. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. And from this glorious picture, then we see this death angel coming, and we see the blood applied, and the person, people are saved, or the people are lost if it isn't applied. That's the Passover feast. Now let me talk about just two things. First of all, I want you to see the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't hear a lot of preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore. We don't have many sermons about it, and we don't have many songs, even if it's in the hymnal. But I'm going to tell you today, the only hope is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and don't you forget it. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, Peter tells us, and he declares, "For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." The blood of Jesus Christ is all important. That's the only thing that counts. It's the most important thing you have in your body. If you lose your blood, you'll lose your life. And when you come to salvation, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us, and the blood alone. And when we speak of the blood of Christ, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about salvation. It's all tied up in this wonderful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not talking just about the blood on the cross, but the blood applied as we think of the wonderful Christ and the wonderful salvation. And we open our heart to the Savior, and he enters in and he makes us clean. So the Bible is a blood-sprinkled book. And you know what? There is a scarlet thread that runs through that Bible from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, from beginning to end, all the way there's a trail of blood. And God is at war with sin, and in order to win that blood, that sin, he had to have the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. St. John describes the great battle between the devil and the angels and the followers and disciples of Christ. And he tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That is the way of God for victory over sin. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had the victory when Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He paid for the sins of the world, and the world can all be saved if they come in repentance. But you've got to come to Jesus, and you have to apply that blood through faith. So we are forgiven and pardoned and saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And John talks about the blood, and he says in Revelation 1, 5, and 6, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Yes, the blood is all important. And the second thing I want to talk about is, has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to your soul? When the death angel came that night at midnight over all the land of Egypt and all the land of Goshen, he was looking for only one thing. He was looking to see if the blood of the Lamb had been applied to the door. That's all he was looking for. He wasn't looking to see if the Israelite was a good man or a bad man. He wasn't coming to see if he was young or if he's old. He wasn't coming to see if he was an Israelite or an Egyptian. He was looking not for rich or poor. The death angel was looking for one thing and one thing alone, the applied blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the blood, the precious blood, the soul-saving blood, I'm going to tell you, friends, you'll never find heaven. You'll be cast into Christ this eternity. And so we sing about that, and we pray that you'll accept Jesus Christ in your heart. And if you do, if you accept Christ and ask him to take away your sin and promise him to forsake it the best you can and trust him and love him, then you can sing with the redeemed in heaven. And you know, we know what we're going to sing. We've got it written down what we're going to sing. Revelation 5. Listen to it. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them that are high, heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Revelation 5, 11 to 13. And so I'm going to ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ? Have you applied that? I'll tell you how you apply it. You apply it by saying, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner, and I just ask you to come into my heart and to take away my sin and make me clean. And I'll forsake my sin. I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Give it in your own words. Just tell him, and you don't get the thee and the thou and all the fancy stuff. Just tell him. He knows you're a sinner, but he wants you to confess it. And he is not willing that any should perish. And he stands at your heart's door and knocking right now. And there's something you're saying to you. I need Jesus, and I want Jesus, and I'm going to take Jesus, and you pray right now. And then you write to us, and we'll send you literature, and we'll help you get started in the Christian life. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need to hear from you, and we need your help. And so you pray about it and then do as the Lord leads. And God will guide you, and you'll know. You'll know what you should do or not do. And we'll carry on from there. And if it comes, we'll go on. If it doesn't come, we'll stop. And so it's in your hands. Christian Worship Hour, and all of you on shortwave now. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for everyone that's opened their heart to you. and help them to rejoice in their salvation. And their name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and they're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we're going to see them in heaven. And Lord, I'm praying today for those who are shut-ins and those who are drifted away and those who are lonely. I pray for the young people having to make decisions. Maybe their spirit is talking to them and they've never accepted you. Oh God, I just pray. And I pray that in all things you'll be pleased and you'll be honored and that you'll exalt your name in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we just want to thank you now for opening the door for us. I'm going to put it on the screen again. You can get our number there. Need to hear from you. And we just pray that you have a wonderful week. And then next week, we're going right on into the Easter season. And before you know, it's going to be Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And isn't that a glorious time? Oh, the gospel is so great. It is so wonderful. And you, God doesn't want anybody left out, but you have to decide. And so I just know multitudes are deciding for Jesus right now. And then this week, we'll be praying for the next service next week, the Lord willing. And you tell your friends and ask them to join us and be a part of us. And tell them that God loves them and tell them the Christian Worship Hour loves them and that we're preaching to them and teaching them so that they'll come to know Jesus personally, because God loves you and Jesus wants to be in your heart and he's knocking right now and you can make the decision. So we're praying right now, you'll ask him in. And won't that be a glorious day? God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.